afternoon, good evening to everyone. And here we are again, episode 11 of Let's Talk Cloud Networking podcast with myself, John Gonzalez, and Numan Mustafa. Today, we have another special guest that's joined us. John Smoker recently joined us from a customer as a DevOps engineer, senior DevOps engineer, now working in Aviatrix as a senior solutions architect, working on critical special projects. Welcome, John.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So John, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, and you know, before we get kicked off.
Yeah, for sure. As you mentioned, I came from a customer, liked the product so much that I wanted to join the team. I've spent 3 years as a senior DevOps engineer in a cloud-only company. Prior to that, my career is pretty much the previous 25 years, pretty much as a systems engineer, starting out in mainframes, if you really want to go back, but primarily implementing online banking systems for customers. So helping them deploy, configure, secure online banking in their on-premise infrastructure. And just got to a point in my career where I wanted to get into the cloud, and you know, banks are traditionally slow to move in any new direction. And that's when I made the switch to DevOps for like I said, a cloud first organization.
Yeah, myself coming from a financial organization, I can resonate with what you say. Slow to move, exactly. So John, what is the role of a DevOps engineer, especially when related to cloud, public cloud? What does one do?
Well, I think it can mean different things to different organizations. I guess, one way to look at it is, getting code from development to production end to end quickly and efficiently, and being responsible for that full pipeline. From my perspective or in my career, it's meant more about providing tooling and automation to help folks who do development. I'm DevOps with a emphasis on the ops part. That's how I would look at myself. But I like enabling folks who do strictly that code, application coding, helping them with the things that isn't application coding, creating that pipeline, helping them get that code from here to there. In ways that is, and I think this can be lost a lot of times, in ways that is has a mind towards security and consistency, across implementations.
Right. Interesting. So me coming up through the traditional networking background, John, I've never heard of a DevOps before until quite recently. The role, for the last sort of, I'd say 5 years, we'd start hearing the term DevOps, and we need to take on more DevOps engineers to do X, Y, Z, et cetera. So how did the role actually come about? Did cloud specifically drive it? Because I can't remember a DevOps role on-prem, before cloud.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think on-prem, you're talking about like a long history of kind of codified roles and silos of folks and friction between different parts of the organization. And I think DevOps came with cloud, trying to break down those divisions, right? And reduce that friction between developing code and productionized, implemented code.
Right. And folks, do they want to do it because, really they have an opportunity now, engineers have an opportunity now to learn and play, and they have a certain amount of freedom, whereas a typical on-prem app developer was pretty tied to a specific project and, timeline to deliver his code within, and, very rigid constraints. Do you think, you know, engineers now are moving towards that DevOps where they have that more freedom to do and be innovative?
I think that's exactly the reason for that that change.
So, John, I have a question. So when you were at your previous role, obviously you were working at DevOps engineer. Tell us about your journey of how you came to know or got to know Evatrix. And in general, what I've seen is there is this initial, I would say, conception that if you are completely using cloud native, that's basically equals to a pure architecture that you have. And anytime you bring in a, you know, even if it's a product from outside or a partner product, which basically even if it has cloud native or cloud native plus as a matrix, there is this misconception that it's going, my architecture is no longer pure, right? And can you share, you know, how you get to, what is your journey like when you went into the cloud, you started working with AWS maybe, and then you start running into challenges where you thought that, okay, hey, cloud provided everything and you don't have to look anywhere else. And then later on you ran into issues and how you embraced Evatrix and how it benefited you as a DevOps engineer, and what would be your recommendation in that regard?
Yeah, there's a few things in there. And if I skip over any part of that, just help pull me back in. But to start, my relationship with Evatrix began when I was actually looking for a VPN solution that I could integrate with authentication with our SAML provider, or our, you know, one login. Yeah. Essentially, and I wanted to be able to single sign on. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. And at the time, I think this may have changed, but at the time, Evatrix was the only product out there that provided that SAML integration that had a VPN client. And I think you're correct in saying that there's kind of a biased biased towards open source solutions. And against, you know, buying packaged products, and that's where we were at the time. We were using an open source VPN client and server, but the problem was it wasn't secure, and onboarding, offboarding folks it was difficult, and you know, quite frankly, you know, we weren't in the business of creating and configuring VPN software. And so, you know, to me, I'm always happy to pay for solutions that work, that allow a business to focus on what it does best. We brought in the VPN solution from Evatrix, and right away, it solved the need. Product did, but it was the fact that it came packaged with a Terraform provider that really allowed us to integrate it into tooling that we already had, and really started cementing Evatrix's reputation within the organization. We were already Terraforming some onboarding and offboarding of folks into applications that we were using. New hire would come in, it would go through a Terraform pipeline that would provision all access to all of these different tools. And we were able to use the Evatrix Terraform provider, just plug that into that pipeline. And now we've provisioned people with access to the VPN, and configured with access roles based off of where they stood in the org. What role did they have with the organization? And it just right into the pipeline. Here's your access to the VPN. And when you're on the VPN, you can only access these things because you have this role. And so we were able to just package all of that up and automate it. And that's really, what DevOps is all about, is automating things. So you can get on and do better work.
Yeah. And then that's great. And what are the additional, so now looking at the overall Evitrix portfolio, right? So Evitrix is basically a complete cloud networking and security platform, born in the cloud, built for the cloud. That's why we call it a cloud native plus, because it's not just a lift and shift of an on-prem offering that basically being cloud washed to make it relevant in the cloud. And I think everything is Terraform driven. Now, when you see the overall portfolio, and I think one of the great thing about Evitrix is you can start anywhere and grow anywhere. And I think you started with user VPN, but then you looked at the transit capabilities and how it's better than the cloud native offerings that you have out there, as well as security. So how do you see a DevOps team, right, embracing Evitrix as part of their overall portfolio and still have that complete infrastructure as a code mindset that they are striving for?
Yeah, I think, it probably depends org to org. For us in that role, we had the VPN. Like I said, the profile of Evitrix was greatly enhanced just from the Terraform capabilities. And so then we started looking at other solutions that Evitrix provided. Where's their value for us, and where can we maybe leverage that to replace what we have? And one of those things was egress filtering. We were using the native cloud construct, no visibility, no ability to secure that access, and that was something, like I said, with my background in wanting to create platforms that are secure, was of interest to me. I saw a value in that, and quite frankly, I saw that we could do it, that we could deploy that product again, just drop it into the pipelines. We were already creating our networking infrastructure via Terraform. And so it was a simple drop-in replacement, drop the Evitrix product in where we were originally deploying NAT gateways. And we were able to do it in such a way that it was almost a net no cost for us. Because of you don't get charged for data running through the Evitrix gateways the way you do the NAT gateway. And then also, quite frankly, we were a little over-provisioning NAT gateways in the organization. So we were able to be a little bit more efficient around how we did deployments, maybe not having, full AZ redundancy in development environments, for example. But again, it was so simple for us to really just take out code that was deploying native constructs and drop in like similar code that deployed Evitrix infrastructure and just like turn it on, essentially, and then get all of the benefits that that security provides. And just I always have to tell the story around that, because when we lit up our first egress filtering gateway from Evitrix, one of the features of the product is a discovery mode. You turn it on. It's not actually blocking any traffic, but you get to see what the traffic is. And the first one that I brought online, there were some things that were kind of surprising in that I was able to take back to the development teams that owned that infrastructure that was causing that traffic and say, hey, what is this? And they had no idea. It was legacy code from, long back that they just, they went, and I think it was literally a day, had removed from production because it was just something that it shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. No, I think the visibility is a beautiful thing. And, I mean, that's one of the things that, we provide, and we enhance the CSP constructs in a much meaningful way, not through just egress FQDN, but also, our Copilot visibility. I think people just get enlightened. And once you are enlightened, you can do things and you can take steps, whether it's about security posture, whether it's about capacity planning, whether it's about, looking at different type of trends that you are seeing in your network. So it's just amazing the way we blend with the with cloud native and make it even better. One more question I have, John, from you is, you know, initially when DevOps, you know, they started going to the cloud, it was more about, you know, how can I become more agile, right? And my on-prem teams are slow, my networking is slow, it takes weeks and weeks to get things provisioned, and my application or my business is demanding me to move fast. And I have my credit card, AWS or other CSPs have made this very easy for me. I can go in and spin up things and provide this environment to my developers to start producing things much quicker, right? And early on, it was mostly about, you know, development platforms and research things and things that may not be as mission critical, but now once they proved it, it's now mandated from CIOs, CTOs, CEOs to actually fully move to the cloud, and data centers are being shut down. And then at that point, things are also becoming mission critical in the cloud. And when there's an outage, the tolerance level is very low now. And DevOps are saying, hey, this is not what my job is. My job is to focus on application and CI/CD and pipelining and helping my application team. I'm not here to do the security posturing and how do I connect and worry about my overlapping IP addresses to the end customer. How do I do traffic engineering across multiple links in different clouds? So networking and security team, the traditional networking and security teams are being asked to ramp up and start to take over these capabilities. But the problem is they have so much learning, right? They are behind. They have been focusing on on-prem. Nobody actually focused on them to learn cloud. It's something that they was always looked at as good to have, maybe as a side job you can do. So how do you see this evolve that, you know, now you have DevOps who has established themselves as the more mature team, and then networking security coming in, and obviously there is friction. And at the end of the day, this model needs to evolve, and this needs to be one hybrid team. But how do you see this evolving, and what would be your advice to the networking security team on how can they embrace cloud and not be scared of it? Because it's something that requires their skill set as well.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right in that DevOps folks, you know, I don't see them evolving into that as responsible for cloud networks and the security and the availability and all of that. But I do see that it is that those DevOps practices and that skill set that is needed for those folks who are going to take that role going forward. That's exactly how I see these people with all of that networking experience on-prem. Almost, you know, we just need to pair them, you know, with some DevOps folks and get them hands-on, quite frankly. That's what it was for me. I mean, I was, like I mentioned in my career, I was working in that on-prem world and building all of this infrastructure and trying to, you know, herd all of that cattle. And just as soon as I found out how I could quickly iterate on infrastructure that if you go back far enough, I was unboxing and putting in racks. Just how quickly I could build that same infrastructure in the cloud and have it be exactly the same every time I do it, because you're building it from code. I think that once legacy network engineers see that they can, I mean, I've been involved in, you know, situations where you're adding a new role to a Cisco device, and then all of a sudden nothing's working, right? So I think once they get their hands on the repeatability and infrastructure as code to really see how you can just stamp out all of this infrastructure and be sure that it's going to be what you expect it to be over and over again, I think they'll embrace that.
And I think the problem, in fairness to the on-prem guys, they've got their on-prem jobs to cater for. Organizations now are wanting to move to the cloud at speed, right? The on-prem guy is, you know, way behind a curve in terms of infrastructure and code, as code development skills, et cetera. Folks are trying to recruit those sort of skills, bring them in. That's difficult as well. It's like a vicious circle now for organizations, you know? You know, I would, you know, almost the opposite of what you're saying, where the security network engineer pick up the new skills. Sometimes I feel the DevOps engineer would be easier to pick up the network and security constructs, you know, in those skills, because he's already a developer. He just needs to understand how those bits fit in, like you did. You mentioned I think you're right. The traditional engineers on-prem, they're slowly coming up to speed. There's a lot of work for them to do. And I think this is where organizations like Aviatrix, you know, with our learning programs and, self-starter kit, et cetera, you know, we're able to really add value to help bring those folks up to speed, certifications that we do as well.
I think another thing that you see the value of Aviatrix in, just again from my experience working in, you know, Fortune 500 or 50,000 employee types of organizations, the networks are massive, right? Mm-hmm. And you have network engineers that work on just this one part of the network, and others that work on this other part of the network, or just this infrastructure. And there's just no, the silos and the communication and the visibility across those teams, it just isn't there. And so when you're talking about cloud and specifically about Aviatrix, just, you know, it just lights up my mind when I see, I can have visibility all the way from the left side of the org to the right side of the org, mm-hmm. through, you know, three or four parts of the org. Like, that just is astounding to me.
Yeah.
So it is. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one thing is for sure that I think people need to get out of the comfort zone, and they need to embrace the cloud. And they need to do an honest effort to learn and pick it up. Now, I think they are both, it depends on the personality, right? I think we should all strive to do things that we are most passionate about. If the DevOps engineer can pick up networking, well and good. For networking security folks, you know, some of them will never become application developer guys, but they can elevate themselves to a point where they can speak the same language, and they can understand what DevOps is asking for, and they can get more closer to the application space. And I think there is enough work, enough complexity in cloud networking security that needs to be handled by these networking folks or revamped networking security folks. I mean, I've seen people, and maybe John Gonzalez, this is a question for you, right? You being head of infrastructure for Citi for so long, how would you have handled this situation? Because I've seen people who blindly sort of shut down the data centers, they fired, and this is a real customer who fired 25, 30, CCIEs on the staff, blindly go into the cloud, and they just hired instead of 50 people, they hired 10 DevOps engineer people, only to realize that who's going to take care of the cloud networking security, mm-hmm. and audit and compliance and security postures. And then they end up hiring these people again with sort of a more knowledge towards cloud. So how would you have handled it? In a way where, you know, you need to be a little bit more informed on what cloud provides and what the cloud does not provide, and how do you build your own in cloud environment, and what maybe the right way of doing it?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Numan. The certainly you can't just fire your on-prem staff, right? Because that work doesn't go away, right? You can shut down a data center, but that type of work still exists, whether it's no longer on the data center on-prem, but it's somewhere else, right? So you've got to retain some level of that expertise, thinking that you can just go to the cloud and everything is done for you magically. You know, that's a very naive perspective. You know, nothing in life magically appears for you in the way you want it. You always have to put some hard work and effort into it and your own time into it. So these people that think, they don't naturally think about cloud networking, they don't naturally think about, you know, architecture first approaches. You know, folks do think about security. They have, you know, I want to be secure. They don't know how to be secure, but they do think about security, because that's, you know, in every newspaper, every news article you read, there's something about security in there. I think if I had my chance again today in doing this for an organization, certainly the buy DIY versus buy question would come to mind. you know, be right at the forefront of my mind. And knowing what I know today, knowing there's a skill set, you know, a shortage of skill set, from networking to understand and security to understand how it works in the cloud, then, you know, the answer leads very much in favor of buy your cloud networking and security from an expert. You know, buy your cloud networking and security, you know, not just from any expert, but from an expert that started out with an architecture first approach. An expert that doesn't have any baggage from what the on-prem world, because they'll try to bring that baggage into the cloud and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, a born in the cloud, like an aviatrix, ideally placed, you know, as the expert to actually to take away those pains and headaches and nightmares about, you know, native cloud networking and security, because, you know, the native the CSPs don't tell you everything. It's not that they're trying to hold anything back. They just don't feel it relevant to tell you, oh, I don't have this, or, oh, by the way, you know, there's only so many entries in a root table. And if you go one entry above, then the whole thing crashes. That's not the way they talk about cloud. You know, their expertise is compute, storage, hyperscale, providing, you know, extremely, extremely wonderful services that will give you, you know, fantastic analytics, that will do big data crunching for you. That's where their expertise lies, and they do a great job of that. They provide very native, very basic networking security, as we all know. You know, I'm going about a long-winded way of answering your question, Numan.
Great. But I think
specialist company, go for an aviatrix that's cloud agnostic, architecture first approach, repeatable, scalable, quick and easy to deploy, infrastructure as code, as John, you know, Smoker just was talking about. You know, I don't think I would want to attempt to do this on my own. Why would you? You know,
that's a great advisor. I think that's something that you learn after spending 2 years, and then you redo things. So it's better to learn from experiences of others, and it's a great advice for decision makers. One question I do have for John Smoker is, I know that you are heavily involved now with the developing our cloud ACE Cloud Ops course, you know, working with the rest of the team, and the one of the key things that we are trying to do in that is, you know, looking at it from a perspective of networking security folks, on how do we educate them on what the infrastructure as a code means, what the pipeline means, what the DevOps concepts means, and bring them on the journey so that they basically sort of the gap between the apps team and DevOps team and the cloud networking security teams reduces, and they start to work more as a team. So tell us about how we are educating, what are the modules that are helping them, and how do you think it will help the networking security folks?
With the ACE training specifically?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just like what I was talking about in terms of just getting your hands on it, you know, and seeing the product and how it works and how it's, you know, automated under the covers. We don't have, you know, in those trainings specifically. Even though the courses are built from Terraform themselves, we don't have anything specifically about automating through that. But that's certainly something I'd love to see, added just to demonstrate that the power of that. Because it really that's really, you know, you don't want to be handcrafting anything these days, and I think that's where you really see the power, is when you're when you can automate and have that consistency and that comfort in knowing that it's always the same every time you do it.
Yeah, I think what I really liked about the way you guys have designed it is let's say if I'm a networking security folk, traditional networking security folks, person who have not worked or lived in the cloud, I go to that cloud ops course and then I get the basics of what DevOps is, what infrastructure as a code means, what the CI/CD means. So I get that level set. And then towards the end of the class, I'm able to use Terraform to deploy a multi-cloud network with some firewalling That's basically a very enlightening feeling when you are able to do this as a networking security person. You know, even though I'm not boiling the ocean, but I get the concepts, because at the end of the day, it's not rocket science. These are all smart people coming in. And once they're able to do things by hand and also able to fast track the learning, AWS, Azure, GCP, and be able to understand the concept of IAC and be able to do thing, right? That even if it's a 1 hour lab, but you're able to do thing to Terraform, to spin up your cloud networks, I think it's just a very enlightening feeling, which I think is amazing.
And then on top of that, to you know, after you've done all of that, and then to see the end-to-end visibility as well is just, you know, like I said, that's, to me, that's something that's been missing from networking, you know, corporate or enterprise networking forever, that end-to-end.
Yeah. And you know what the beauty is? There's nothing more an engineer likes more, whether an app developer, networking, security, is to actually do something by his or her own hands, and then sit back and see the end result in a relatively quick timeline. You know, unlike the on-prem world, you know, you think something's going to happen, you're waiting 6 months for a box to be delivered, you know, and then by that time, you know, you've forgotten what was I meant to be doing with it, you know. So, you know, working in the cloud, you know, networking, Aviatrix is so quick, easy, repeatable. You know, the fact that it looks easy doesn't mean to say it's easy under the hood. It's very sophisticated under the hood, as I think you was alluding to, John. And, you know, a lot of complexities under the hood, but none of that's exposed. We expose simplification to folks, you know, easy way to do things, infrastructure code, use our GUI, API, whatever it is you want to use. But and you can do it quick, and you can sit back and see your net result afterwards.
That's great. All right, so I think we are over time. John, was always any last?
John, any last minute words of wisdom you'd like to leave our audiences with?
I don't know. I would just say, you know, if you're going to do something once, automate it, because you're certainly going to need to do it twice. And also, you know, get your DevOps engineers talking to your network engineers, make them friends, you know, pair them together, have a pairing program that makes buddies out of these folks.
No, that's very, that's exactly right. You know, especially, you know, the automation, automate it, because you will have to change it, and you don't want to have to do all that nonsense manually, you know.
Not at all.
Thanks, thanks, John Spoker. Thanks a lot. Thanks, John Gonzalez. It's a really good session. Really good advice. Yeah. Really good insights.
Very good. Thank you so much, John. It's I've learned a lot again. You know,
on one of these sessions. Thank you. I appreciate you having me.